I want to invite your attention to Luke chapter 1. Brother John read the 26th through the 28th verse. I'm going to look at just the 28th verse. NIV version says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And the angel went to her and said to her, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord, he is with you.'" Amen. Let me put a tag on this text. Don't miss the signs. Don't miss the signs. In all of our lives, there are experiences that we will never, ever forget. The Riviera gang, which consisted of me and Derek Edmonds, and Cordier, Daryl, Earl, Mark, all of us grew up together. We talk about what we were going to be and what we were going to do. And as we were approaching our teenage years, we talked about the kind of car that we were going to get. And we dreamed about it. And for most of us, the car that we got wasn't the car we dreamed of. We used to tease one of our brothers because his first car came as a result of his uncle selling a real good bird dog. He traded a bird dog for his car, but he had the last laugh because he was the first one to get one. Even though it wasn't what we had all dreamed of, he took what he could and made the best he could out of it. And we did some things in that car we had no business doing. Going for rides when he didn't have insurance. Going on ice when he had slicks in the back. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost can give you power to lift a car out of a ditch when you wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. But one of the tragedies is that he drove a little aggressively. Then one night on the far north side of town, between Carmel and Indianapolis, he was driving aggressively on a side road and missed a sign. Ended up running into the middle of Meridian. The accident took his life and injured the lives of his passengers. And it happened all because he was being a little aggressive. He was in an area he wasn't really knowledgeable of, and he missed a sign. And because he missed that sign, all of us was given an indelible message, lesson, that to this day, some 30-some years later, almost 40 years later, I still haven't forgotten the danger of missing the sign. It could hurt you, but it can also hurt the people that are with you if you miss the sign. The Advent story, the narrative that God gave us in Matthew as well as Luke, is filled with signs. There are numerous characters that are involved in this narrative, but there's a few that I do want to lift up today as we consider this message. And one of the persons that I really would like to zoom in on for a few moments is Mary. And I love the fact that as God shared this message, that the time has come for the Christ child to arrive, he used this marvelous teenage vessel in a very interesting way. I think there's some things, Ed, that we can learn as we see how God dealt with her in expressing what God was going to do. Trudy, the first thing I want to share from this one little verse is that God dealt with her privately. He dealt with her privately. God sent a messenger to her when she was all alone. He dealt with her privately. You need to know that when you read the text, there's a lot of things said about her before it finally gets to her name, because she was growing up in a male-dominated, sexist society. And in those particular days, matter of fact, some Jews believed it was a sin to even talk to a woman by yourself in public. That's why they rolled their eyes at Jesus when he was talking to the woman at the well. But God does something very interesting here. He shows up, the messenger shows up when she's all by herself. Even though it would involve Joseph, the message didn't come to her when she was with Joseph. He could have just as easily have waited till they had got together, maybe on a Sunday afternoon, having dinner with the family, but he didn't do that. God waited to deal with her, to show up and give this message to her privately. He did it when she was by herself. The angel Gabriel is only mentioned four times. Theologians believe that he showed up more than just the four times, but the angel Gabriel, he is named four times. Two times he's named in Daniel, one time when he was told to go explain the vision to Daniel so that he'll understand. The next time he showed up to Daniel to touch him. And then the next time that he shows up to visit Zechariah when Zechariah is in the Holy of Holies. And the last time he shows up, it's in verse number 26, when he's here bringing the message, when he's bringing the message to Mary. It's funny. It's kind of interesting the kind of contrast that Gabriel gets to have in his experiences ultimately as he gets to Mary. When you look at the contrast between him, between Zechariah and Mary, Zechariah is an old man. Mary is a young girl. Zechariah is a priest. Mary is a descendant of David. Zechariah gets a visit in the temple. Mary gets a visit at her house. Zechariah gets a visit from him in Jerusalem. Mary gets a visit from him in Nazareth. I like that because when you look at the contrast, God has a way of covering from the very religious to the little girl who's trying to make her way walking in the will of God. He goes all the way from the big temple down to the little house in the hood of Nazareth. Y'all will catch this in a minute. The message is, the sign is that God will deal with you privately, no matter what level you are at. And the good news is, it's a shout cue if Derek Wakefield was here, because there are some things you really just want God to deal with you privately. There's some stuff you don't want anybody else to talk about. You don't want anybody else to know about. My beloved pastor, who is now on the other side, Pastor Wesley Manning, he wasn't known as a singer, but every now and then, Junior, he would break out in his favorite hymn, On Mount Olive, Sacred Bow, Jesus Spent the Night in Prayer. There he laid the pattern for us all alone. And then he'd break into that chorus and would say, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him all my troubles all alone. The church knew when to step in, and before it was over, the house would be dumped, all because all of us could celebrate that there are times where we are grateful that God is kind enough, loving enough to deal with us, to visit us privately. privately. But not only does he show up and talk to her privately, he deals with her personally. He says some things to help us know that God has been keeping his eye on Mary. He came, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, you're highly favored. And he said, you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. And I was wrestling with that, Brother Madison. I was struggling because I was trying to figure out which one came first. Was the Lord, was she favored because the Lord was with her? Or when the Lord was with her, that brought favor? I was wrestling with it. Could it be that because she was walking with the Lord, he favored her? Or could it be that he favored her first and then she began to walk with him? You figure it out for yourself. I think a little bit of both of them are correct, but let me express, if I define the word favor, you'll understand which comes first. The word favored is actually translated to make graceful, to bestow honor. And if it's to make graceful, you know grace is getting something you don't deserve. So whatever it is, she did not deserve it. The problem that some folk have when they start dealing with Mary, sometimes they go to some extremes, but it was grace that God bestowed upon her. And if you read the Bible, it's the same grace. The grace God gave to her is the same grace, unmerited favor. It fleshes itself out in different ways, but grace is grace. And she was favored with grace. And then the Bible says God was with her. Well, the question then is, how do I get God to be with me? I used to sing, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. But if I tell the truth, that sometimes I don't know where I'm going. So should I ask the Lord to walk with me, or is it better I walk with him? Matthew 28 helps us that as we hear the word, he says, all authority is given unto me, both heaven and earth. And then he says, because of that authority, I'm telling you to go baptize all nations, preach the good news to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then here's the promise, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I say it kind of helps us to understand that if you hear the word and then heed the word that you hear, he'll be with you so that you can do and have the power to do what the word is calling you to do. He says you are highly favored. He tells her the favor of the Lord is on you. There's some songs that celebrate the children of God, that favor is rested on us. And we like to sing that song. We like to celebrate the favor, the grace of God that continues to do things for us. He opens doors that we didn't even know existed. He opens windows and pours blessings, and windows get stuck and we don't have room. He gives to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He pulls us from the back and puts us in the front. He's a gracious God. But y'all, favor is fun, but favor can be painful. Hit your brakes. Come here a minute. Because while you are praying for favor, while you are celebrating favor ought to come with a warning label. We were in a workshop the other day, and we learned that when you have chemicals, cleaning supplies, that the person who produced it ought to give you a fact sheet to let you know what's in it, how it can help, but also how it can hurt, because you need to know all the things that relates to using this particular product. I need to help you today, because while you're begging for favor, while you're crying for favor, while you're rejoicing about favor, you need to know that when you are favored by the Almighty, you may become the focus of the adversary. I'm gonna say it again. When you get favored by the sovereign, it's almost at the same time, you become the focus of Satan. Because there's some things that come with that come with favor. You want me to prove it? Okay. Rachel, the Bible says Leah had tender eyes, but Rachel was favored. She was beautiful and favored. She was the favorite of her husband, but she still had to share her husband with three other women. Joseph in Genesis, he got the favor of his father, but that favor of the father landed him in a pit, jumped by his brothers. And then when he got out of the pit, he was sold into slavery and ended up as a servant at Potiphar's house. And the text says he was good looking and well favored, and Potiphar put everything in his hand, cause his daddy done taught him how to do some stuff. And he took those same skill set with him when he went to Potiphar's house, and he used those skill sets to prosper Potiphar and his family. The text says he was favored, but along with the favor came the eyes of Miss Potiphar, who dogged him out day in and day out, trying to get him to cross the line. And even when he said, "I can't do this," it would be not only a sin against your husband, but it'd be a sin against God. Even that didn't stop her from dogging him out. And when she couldn't force him to do it, she lied on him, and favor took him from the palace to the prison. Come here. You want some favor? There's some things that come with favor. You want favor? There's some things that come with favor. Haters come with favor. Jealousy come with favor. A greater level of temptation come with favor. You want favor? Then tell the whole truth. There's some things that come with favor. Look at this young girl. She's a teenage girl, and she's been fighting to keep her virtue. Because the truth is, any girl who has a virtue, she's gonna have to fight to keep it. Especially when you've already been picked, and you got a good man that wants to do the right thing, and there's always the line, "We gonna get married anyway." But she's fighting. She's fought the good fight, and she's been victorious over getting and keeping her virtue. And now what God is asking her to do is literally throwing aside everything that she's worked to keep. But God, through Gabriel, said, "You are highly favored. I guess the order helps make sense, Junior. It's kind of like this. If the Lord bestows you with favor, he's got enough sense to stay with you. He's got enough sense to walk with you and keep you, because he knows what you're going to have to deal with. He knew that she was going to have to deal with the husband that would doubt her faithfulness. He knew that she was going to have to deal with mama and daddy and Auntie Nim. She knew that the sorority sisters were going to all have a word to say. He knew that a lot of people was going to cast her aside. But in spite of that, I love what God did in picking this beloved girl. And we get to learn some things. God dealt with her. He dealt with her privately. And then he dealt with her personally. Now watch this. Nowhere in the text does she go and talk to Joseph to ask him what he thinks about it. Nowhere does she say, hey, time out, let me call Joseph to see if this is okay with him. I like this because when you are a servant of God, that's between you and God. She doesn't stop, even though it's a male-dominated society, she doesn't stop to ask Joseph's opinion because she knows who she's dealing with. She is in the presence of the angel who spends time in the presence of God. And she is listening to his word. And in spite of the fact that there would be some trouble, some drama, some stress, she responded in a favorable way. Let me tell you what God will do for you. Because he knows that sometimes following him is a lonely walk. He knows that following him, sometimes it's a quiet walk. He knows that when you walk with him, every now and then he knows what you're thinking. God, when? When you gonna open that door? God, when? When you gonna change this situation? God, when? When you gonna do what you said you're gonna do? God, I've been calling on you. God, I've been asking you. I've been pleading with you. I've been fasting and praying that you will do it. God, when are you gonna do what you said? You said you'd never leave me nor forsake you, but yet sometimes walking with God, you end up having a quiet walk. And you wonder when God's gonna do what he said he's gonna do. But here's the promise. Not only does Gabriel tell her, the Lord is with you, God does something else. He gives her some assurance. He gives her some assurance. As Gabriel begins to explain all the things that are going to happen in her life, he gives her some assurances. The first assurance is simply a word. He reminds her, you remember your Sunday school lesson, don't you? You remember Isaiah 7:14, where it says, and God will give to all of you a sign. Yes, and from the lineage of David, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. God always, when he's getting ready to do what he's going to do, when he calls us to walk with him, to step with him, to believe in him, God will always give you a word. He takes her back to the word. He takes her back to the fact, this is not brand new. We didn't think of this morning. This has been coming about for a long time. Now the sovereign timing is here. The time has come. I thank God for his sovereign timing. And when you look at what was going on in the world in their day, politically, there was oppression. These people were poor. Folk hated the Jews. They even at times hated each other. But in the midst of all of that, it was finally time for the Savior to come. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, it's time for him to come again. When you think about all the stuff that we've been going through, and folk are more concerned about staying in a seat that they've been voted out of than people that are dying from a disease every single day, got somebody. It's time. Come, Jesus, come. When there are individuals that are more concerned about retaining a seat that they already have and pleasing somebody who literally have lost their mind, come, Lord Jesus. It's time for him to come. You got crazy people signing their name to a document, then some other brother, even in a Ebony Hue, standing and saying, well, maybe the states ought to recede and form their own union. That's the kind of stuff folk talked about in the Civil War. And that argument was about keeping black folks slaves. Is that really? And you got a black person, is that really what you want, to take us all the way back to that? But we know the signs. We see it crystal clear, because the real argument of what's happening in the day, it's based on the fact that there are people that are hungry for power. And the truth is, Mary was living in a day where people were hungry for power. You know the story, that even after Jesus was born, when Herod was tricked, Herod went out to try to kill every child because he was hungry. He was hungry for power. But here's the good news. The good news is God always, he'll give you a word. He deals with her personally. He deals with her privately. But he gives her some assurance to help her understand this is all connected to the Word of God. You have heard about this before. I told you that this was happening. And here's what's so wonderful about Mary. Of all the things she could have asked, she didn't ask what, she didn't ask why, she didn't ask where, she didn't ask when. She only had one question. Her question was, how? In other words, she wasn't arguing about, I know the Savior is coming. She wasn't arguing about, when is it going to happen? She wasn't arguing about why it's going to happen. She only had one question. I just need to know how, because I'm still a virgin. Just explain to me how it's going to happen. But God, not only did he give her a word, but he gave her a witness. He gave her a witness. And then the Gabriel said to her, even Elizabeth, your cousin, she's six months pregnant. You got a witness. Here's the beauty of the witness. When God calls us to walk with him, to serve him, to walk with him and be a vessel for him, God never has you doing it by yourself. God explains to her, you're not the only one that I have in this plan. You're not the only one that's involved. And God gives her a witness. The witness is Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, she's in Nazareth. Elizabeth is someplace else. But here's the beauty of what goes on as you watch and listen and look at the response of this beloved teenage girl. She believes the witness before she sees the witness. He says, your cousin is 6 months pregnant. And you know they've been collecting retirement checks for 10 years. She was the one where they said she could not have children. But now here she is, 6 months pregnant. And which shows that with God, nothing is impossible. God gave her some assurance. She had sense enough to know that the Gabriel was telling the truth, because here's what we know about this messenger. He stands in the presence of God. He hears a word from God. He goes and delivers the word, and then he's through. He's not going to sit around and argue. He's not going to sit around and debate. He takes the message, delivers the message, and then he moves on. But he gives in this message, he gives her some assurance. You're not the only one. God's going to give you a sign to help you know that he is doing a great thing. And before she can even pack a bag, before she gets to go see Elizabeth, she believes the witness before she sees the witness. It's in verse number 36 where she says these words. She says, well, King James Version says, behold. That word's translated, see. And then she uses this word, I am the handmaid of the Lord. In other words, she says, I am voluntarily giving myself wholly to the Lord. I'm giving my body, I'm giving my mind. I'm the Lord's handmaid. And you know, when you think about somebody who's a maid, it's the idea of being a servant. When you're a servant, you're there to do what the master wants done. That's what Mary is saying. Whatever he wants to do, however you want to use me, I'm your servant. Watch this. She doesn't go ask her daddy if it's all right, because it ain't got, this is bigger than her daddy. She doesn't ask her mama if it's all right, because it's bigger than her mama. She doesn't ask Joseph, because this is bigger than Joseph. She done already heard the word. She's got the faith of the Lord, but she also has the presence of the Lord. And the good news is there's one thing you can't do without. Joseph may leave you, but you can't do without the Lord. Your mama may turn her back on you, but you can't do without the Lord. Your daddy may frown on you and be upset with you, but the one thing you can't do without is the Lord. Favor, it ain't fair. God will bless who he wants to bless. God will use who he wants to use. God will lift who he wants to lift. And there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. You know you were a witness. Some folk didn't want you to have what you have, but God gave it to you anyway. Some people didn't want you to have the house. They didn't want you to have the car. They didn't want you to have the job, but God gave it to you anyway. Favor, it ain't fair, and favor ain't always fun, but I got some good news. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll protect you from all hurt, harm, and danger. Won't he comfort you? Won't he hold you? Won't he keep you in the presence of your enemies? I told you Gabriel had a contrast. An old man, young girl, priest, little girl from the descendant of David, Jerusalem, in the hood. But then there's a different response. The holy man, he didn't believe. So because he wouldn't believe, God made him a sign. And he could not talk for 9 months because he did not believe. God shut his mouth for 9 months. But because Mary believed, God gave her grace on every hand. I close right there. Walk with him. Talk with him. And he'll give you grace on every hand. Paul said, I prayed 3 times that God remove this thorn. But I got something better. I got grace. Grace. Grace is better. Grace sustains us. Grace keeps us. Don't miss the sign. It's in the word, and it's celebrated by the witnesses. And we get the benefit of seeing it all. But y'all, the truth is, we don't have to just go by their story. When we accepted Jesus into our life, and when Jesus saved us from our sins, When Jesus filled us with the Holy Spirit, we've got our own story. We've got our own testimony. God keeps on blessing. He keeps making a way. Because what he did then, God can still bless, and he can do it now. He's still looking for messengers, and he's still looking for vessels that will make themselves available to be used by him, that others may know that the Savior has come. And here's the good news. He's coming again. He's coming again.